We got 3% growth. Hey, that's great. Wasn't supposed to happen. No, it was going to be a tariff-mageddon. Total disaster, and was not. It was over economically. All the right people said so. Have you noticed how these experts they trot out are always wrong? Like, always. Like, you'd think they'd get it right every once in a while, but no. Where Trump's concerned, they never get it right, ever. Which makes you wonder about these experts. If it's the reason they've been chosen to, you know, tell you how everything's going to go is not because they actually know, but because they hew to a certain party line. They're not really experts at all. They don't deserve to be listened to. 3% growth. Folks, we were supposed to be in a recession. Don't forget that. Because of Trump's tariffs. Oh, and inflation too. Who told you tariffs don't cause inflation? But that is Econ 101, first year of college. Tariffs don't cause inflation. Tariffs might cause prices to go up. They could go up. That probably happened in some cases. Only one thing causes inflation. And I've been telling you this for months. And that is the printing of money. When you print money, you have more money and each individual dollar is worth less. It's a very simple concept. It is the only way you can get inflation. There is no other way to get there. You set out and said, I'm going to cause some inflation. You could not do it with tariffs. Inflation and price increases are two different things. But the media knows that people don't like the word inflation now because after living through Biden inflation, it was so negative that they have a negative reaction to it. So they use the word inflation. You cannot get inflation from tariffs. You cannot do it. It is impossible. You get price increases, but that's a different thing. That's not the debasement of your currency. And so that's how I was able to say, no how, no way are we getting inflation from the tariffs. And, you know, I'd say it's a shame because when you have a, Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve Chair, so stupid as to pretend that you can actually get inflation from tariffs. And me, I don't even have an Ivy League degree. I took 1 year of econ as my freshman year. Got an A. But that's it. And I can tell you, these are simple concepts. It's just so incredibly frustrating. But you know what the good news is? Trump won, they lost. But what people don't realize is what Trump just actually did. Because it's so revolutionary. He is forcibly creating a market for American energy while unleashing American energy. And that's what's so remarkable about what he's doing. He's cutting Russia out. So look at everything that's going on right now. Okay, so Trump says, okay, got to cut a deal. Ukraine war, 50 days. Okay, you know what? I'm going to 10. Forget it. We'll use secondary tariffs, by the way, on anybody who buys the Russian oil. We'll use secondary tariffs on anybody who buys the Russian natural gas. What secondary tariffs? Oh, well, hey, I'll cut a trade deal with you, Europe, since they're the ones who were buying the, you know, in the past, the Russian natural gas. I'll cut a deal with you. How about this? We cut a trade deal. You buy our energy. You're not going to want to buy it from Russia anyway, since they're going to be suffering from secondary tariffs. You know what's coming next? You know who's going to start buying our energy? Just wait. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to die laughing. It's going to be India. India's been backdoor buying the energy from Russia and supporting the Ukraine war. That's coming. Trump's just still negotiating that. What does that do? That creates a guaranteed market for American energy. Then look what else Trump is doing today. It's brilliant. They are drop kicking the Obama era rules saying that greenhouse gases are a problem, are do damage to the world. Why? Well, that gets rid of all of the regulations. What are we just watching them do? Open up Alaska, open up the drilling, expedite the permits, open the first coal mine in 29 years, open the first rare earth minerals mine in 70 years, find customers for it, force them to buy it in trade deals, back those trade deals with an escalating tariff. It's brilliant. You know how much Trump wrecked Europe. I mean, look at these headlines. I love these headlines. Headline: France Prime Minister denounces US-EU trade deal as submission. This is the best. The French Prime Minister, François Bayrou, is criticizing the trade deal struck by President Trump and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen as an act of submission by the European Union to the United States. You bet. You bet. Of course it was. They got no choice. They're staring down a 30% tariff and they're on the verge of recession. What do you think they're going to do? It's fantastic. And they won't explain this to you when it's just done. In terms of that. Okay. So Europe agrees to spend $1.4 trillion with America over the next 3 years, right? Including $750 billion in American energy purchases. What is Trump doing? He is guaranteeing a purchaser for the energy. Remember when he said to Germany, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to be, you know, relying on Russia for your natural gas since they keep cutting it off? Hey, why don't you buy for us? Do you remember in that audio clip how they laughed at him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll be buying our energy now. $750 billion. Now, what happens if they don't? I keep having people ask me that on the text line. What if they don't and don't and don't? Well, then they go right back up to 30% tariff. There's teeth this time. Trump originally threatened 30%, then escalated to 50. Europe just bought down the tariff rate with an unprecedented investment commitment. In what? Energy. So on the one hand, you see him, because he's got to go fast now, getting rid of the climate era carbon, you know, finding that gives the EPA the ability to regulate all of his stuff. So it's like the EPA has been running around doing everything from tailpipe emissions to your air conditioner, which should cost about half of what Americans have been paying. A lot of it's just regulatory, to the permitting process for natural gas, coal, and all of these energy sources. All of it just got gutted. Why? Because we're going to need to make a ton of it if we're going to force countries to buy it from us. And then the strategic masterstroke of the European tariffs and then the European trade deal. Sectors getting complete exemptions from tariffs. Aircraft and components, semiconductor equipment, critical chemicals, some agricultural products. They're not random. They're strategic supply chains. Trump is rebuilding the supply chain away from China. That's brilliant. And creating great guaranteed customers for American energy imports. Exports, excuse me. So he just forced Europe to make a massive investment in U.S. infrastructure, defense, and energy. And that's the framework, a framework that Carl Mader writes this morning that other countries are now desperate to replicate. The speed is shocking, he says. Just months ago, we were staring at a potential trade warfare. European companies face supply chain chaos. Markets were in panic mode. Now, both sides have a predictable framework they can plan around. This creates a new template for international relations. Instead of traditional diplomacy, Trump is using commercial diplomacy. Countries can now negotiate lower tariffs by making massive investment pledges, but pledges backed by the teeth of, if you don't meet it, we go back to the 30% tariff rate. So they're going to actually have to buy the energy. They're going to actually have to invest. Japan already proves this work. They took the same deal, $550 billion, got them the same 15% rate. This is incredible. And all of it with 3% growth. None of this was supposed to happen, folks. I can't tell you how big of a deal this is, folks. We are supposed to be in a recession right now. I mean, all the right people said so. Even Jamie Dimon, head of J.P. Morgan Chase, right? I mean, it was settled science we were going to have this recession. It was going to be because of the tariffs. It was going to be total disaster. And, oh, the trade war was starting with Europe. We wouldn't survive it. I mean, it was going to be the worst month on record since the Great Depression. I heard that on CNBC, so it must be true. They put it in an article. I wonder if they buried it. No, I'd take that right out of my archives. I'd be so embarrassed. That's just me. Meanwhile, the press looks very different on the other side of the ocean. Very different. With the French prime minister screaming and yelling, and I think this is hilarious, with the French prime minister screaming and yelling that what has just happened here is the humiliation of Europe, the total submission to Donald Trump. Want to hear what that sounds like? Folks, this is our media grumbling begrudgingly, and Trump's got the best of them again. This is Trump's EU victory. Just a wrap-up of how dominant this trade deal was.
The early reviews are in on the new trade deal announced with the European Union. The Financial Times says the deal marks a victory for Trump.
Is this a fantastic deal then struck by Donald Trump?
Absolutely a victory on behalf of the Trump administration.
Isabel, the bottom line is this is the biggest trade deal in President Trump's effort to effectively reshape the global trading order.
On this deal, the European Union, this is a big win for the U.S.,
The bigger picture is that Trump is still very much pursuing his longer-term goal of achieving what he perceives to be fairness for America.
It is a triumph of a lot of things. Certainly, the president ought to take a victory lap. I think it ends up being good for the European Union. It's a blow against the conventional wisdom.
Blow against the conventional wisdom. You bet it is. Oh my gosh, this is incredible what we're seeing right now. I mean, it just makes me so hopeful for the future. If you want to understand what Trump just did in the EU, you have to talk to a real economist, not a fake one. A kind of guy who will never get a gig on Fox Business or CNBC or CNN Business or with Bloomberg. It's never going to happen because he's right. He's right. And unless you're a pro-Democrat partisan hack, whose job is to mislead people, people like Peter St. Ange, you're never going to get a job on these mainstream media stations. But you can find him on X, where you can find out what's actually happening. Here's Peter St. Ange on how Trump steamrolled Europe, which everybody now agrees from CNN Business to CNBC is pretty much what happened.
Europe just got, quote, eaten for breakfast by Donald Trump in a shockingly one-sided trade deal that has European officials and journalists crying in their tax-funded cognacs. French officials describe it as a, quote, dark day and act of submission. The Financial Times of London called it a, quote, steamroller. One European CEO mumbled, I'm embarrassed to be European today. Bloomberg called it, quote, brutal, adding that the European Union needs some serious soul-searching how it got so weak. So first, what's in the deal? In short, 15% tariffs on almost everything Europe sends to us, 0% tariffs on almost everything we sell them, and a commitment by Europe to buy $750 billion of American energy, to invest $600 billion into the American economy, and commitments to buy, quote, hundreds of billions of dollars in U.S. military equipment. Buy, not gifts. The energy alone would triple American energy to almost two-thirds of Europe's energy imports, replacing the Middle East and, of course, gray market imports from Russia. In fact, it's so much energy that American gas companies are scrambling to build the extra capacity. Meanwhile, the $600 billion investment would roughly double European investment in the U.S., and targets will be energy, defense, and industrial production. In other words, stuff Europe used to be good at. In both cases, if Europe drags their feet, tariffs pop back to 30%. So the background is 3 weeks ago, Trump sent the EU a so-called tariff letter threatening that unless they cut a deal by August 1st, tariffs will go to 30%. Europe blinked. Why? Because Europe exports nearly $600 billion a year to the U.S., taking just half in return, meaning roughly 5 million jobs were at risk in Europe, concentrated in their manufacturing powerhouse, Germany, which is already shrinking going on 2 years thanks to green energy and environmental regulation. Now, given Europe's economy has been flirting with recession since COVID, 5 million would almost certainly cost Europe's left-wing leaders their jobs, likely replaced by nationalists who want to deport the criminals who are the future of Europe's left. The larger issue is how Europe got so fragile that they can't say no to a gangster-level trade deal Nice economy you got here. In short, Europe's socialists gutted their own economy. One study from Morgan Stanley estimates almost half of the innovative companies driving global economic growth are in the U.S. Europe has just 10%. Germany's GDP per capita is lower than West Virginia. France is lower than Mississippi. Portugal and Greece are poorer than Puerto Rico. Europe is quickly turning into Mexico with Soviet speech laws and more riots. So as sex brought to...
Yeah. So that's essentially what's going on. He looks at Europe. He sees, wow, they're on the verge of a recession. How about I hit them with a 30% tariff? They don't behave. He jacks it to 50. They go, wait, let's negotiate. He goes, okay, we'll go back down to 30. How much longer can you go without going into a recession? And he says, you know what? How about I cut you a great deal? You go ahead and cut us a check for 15% tariff. Oh, and by the way, all of that energy you're buying from Russia, yeah, it's not going to happen anymore. You're going to go ahead and buy American energy instead, increasing by 2/3 the amount that you currently use. And that's got, natural gas manufacturers here scrambling to find ways to even get it to them. And he locks it in a trade deal that guarantees the 15% tariff revenue. They got to buy all our stuff, including beautifully stuff they used to make well. Planes, semiconductors, military equipment, they got to buy it from us now. If they don't, they go back to the 30% tariff. Why is Trump setting it that way? It's because the Democrats seeing this and that this benefits America. If they get power again, they're going to try to dismantle this. And he's making it really hard. Well, if you dismantle this, you're going to lose the 15% tariff revenue. And Democrats love money to give to their friends, Stacey Abrams, everybody they give it to. So he's setting this up in a way that Democrats have to hurt themselves to undo it later. So that hopefully they won't cut off the energy supply again. Again, folks, remember this. What was the number one growth category month after month after month after month, 100% of the months in the Trump administration last time? Number one economic category of growth, not tech, is mining and minerals, which includes oil, natural gas, coal, and rare earth minerals. And not rare ones, too. That's what drives our economy. That's why Democrats want to gut it. It's why they beeline for it. And Trump is reviving it, finding new customers, and forcing them into long-term deals, buying our stuff with the threat, the Damocles sword of tariffs hanging over their heads. It's awesome.